Welcome back, Rams fans. The LA Rams are 2-0 following a 27-24 victory on the road against the Indianapolis Colts, who fall to 0-2. There were a number of storylines for the Rams to come out of this game outside of the obvious, which is that the Rams are 2-0. This is not to be, you know, understated, underappreciated. The fact is that sometimes teams start 2-0 or 5-0 and still make the miss the playoffs. Sometimes teams start 0-2 and make the playoffs or win the Super Bowl. So how you start is only part of the equation, but the Rams definitely wanted to start 2-0. The Bears and the Colts, their first two games, both of these teams are not bad teams by any means. Both were in the playoffs last season. I don't think either of these teams is a Super Bowl contender, but I think that the Rams in many cases could have not been 2-0, but that is the case here. And Matthew Stafford still looks like a significant upgrade over, you know, Jared Goff or whatever, but it's not about the guy who used to be with the Rams. It's the guy that's here now. And Matthew Stafford, I gotta say, just really enjoyed watching him play again today, surveying the field, making reads, executing. You know, his interception really was it's a great play in a way. You know, Tyquan Lewis gets his hand on the ball, just a fingertip, it seemed, and it was just enough for the pass to fly errantly into the arms of Kari Willis, and that'll happen sometimes. But overall, Matthew Stafford, you know, it wasn't quite the same type of dominant performance that he had in week one against the Bears. But myself and Blaine Didasco, the fiasco, are back again to give an instant reaction to a Rams game and thankfully a Rams win, which again is 27-24. The Colts took the lead there in the fourth quarter, giving the Rams a scare. But LA was able to come right back and score, and Cooper Kupp had a dominant performance. Let me send it over to Blaine Didasco. Blaine, what were your immediate thoughts on the game and the performance in start two for Matthew Stafford?
Cooper Kupp had a great game. That's the first thing that stood out to me. Sure. I think, you know, this is, if he continues this and keeps this up, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be his Pro Bowl season. Definitely on a great start. I thought the defensive stops in the first half were impressive, although, you know, we don't want to be allowing them to get down to the red zone too often. But when they got there, it was impressive stops in the red zone. The first one on fourth down, and then the second one, Troy Reader's interception. So that's the way to do it once they get down to the red zone. And then I think in this game, you know, let's talk about it a little bit later, but also we're waiting for this big the big turnover play from, you know, in the beginning I was waiting for Darius Williams to show up, but in the end it ended up being Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, you know, let's do a quick rundown here. As let's just start with the Colts get the ball to start the game. They go to 11 plays, 49 yards. They go for it on fourth down. No good. We also know that the Rams, you know, they stood at the goal line for four plays, didn't let the Colts get in. I think that is partly indicative of what the Colts are working with offensively. You know, this is the thing, is that when people don't criticize, I'm not a fan of Carson Wentz, and when people don't criticize Carson Wentz, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that he has a lot of arm talent. But at the end of the day, you wouldn't think that the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, if they were down at the goal line, they had four chances, that they wouldn't utilize their quarterback, you know, for some of those early downs. That if your best player is their quarterback, let him make the decision. Let him throw the ball. Not every time. And, you know, obviously there's reasons you run it on first down or second down and goal to go and stuff like that. But this is where I think that Carson Wentz's arm talent and some of the other things that he does well is just so vastly outnumbered and outmatched by what several things we saw today. One being decision making on the interception to Troy Reader, which is a terrible play. And the other being injury, as he was not the guy that even threw the interception to Jalen Ramsey. That was Jacob Eason, because in the critical point of a game, Carson Wentz was not to be available, just like he wasn't available for the Eagles at critical points of the season. So not to come down hard on Carson Wentz. I don't think he listens to this podcast or anybody, any Colts fans. I didn't think that Carson Wentz did look good today, but there were a lot of complaints online about the Rams defense, even though up until late in the game and you know, again, the Colts scored 24 points, but they had a touchdown off of a punt. I didn't think at the end of the day, they didn't give up a ton of points on defense. What were your thoughts on Carson Wentz and the Rams defense against Carson Wentz?
Well, I think he did demonstrate some mobility. He looked slippery in the pocket. I mean, we were able to get pressures on as far as our pass rush goes, but we had a hard time, you know, bringing them down. So he seemed mobile, slippery in the pocket, but wasn't finishing plays as much as he'd like. But I thought, maybe in the red zone, like you're equating to a Patrick Mahomes scenario, obviously, of course, compared to Eason, he's their mobile quarterback. I would give him some looks to maybe run it in. But otherwise impressed with his mobility, if not his arm or decision making.
So on the second drive after the Colts turn it over on downs, the Rams go 8 plays, 90 yards, touchdown. So things feel maybe even better than they did against the Bears offensively right out of the gate for the Rams, as well as with Matthew Stafford completing passes to Robert Woods, Darrell Henderson, Van Jefferson, and Cooper Kupp. And then finally, again, for Cooper Kupp for the touchdown, the first of 2 Cooper Kupp touchdowns, who, by the way, his 3 touchdowns this season are as many as he had last season. And it's only been 2 games. So Cooper Kupp seems to be enjoying potentially his best. Yeah, as you said, maybe his Pro Bowl season, maybe his, you know, maybe there's another ceiling here for Cooper Kupp. His 163 yards today is the second most he's had in a game during his career. And it's only the second time with Matthew Stafford, and he's already put up 200 yard games with Matthew Stafford. So you really start to wonder what's possible. Although I have been cautious with Cooper Kupp in the past, because we've seen him put up his career high a couple of years ago, 220. And sometimes then all of a sudden there won't be a lot of Cooper Kupp in the game plan, or the defense has taken him out, or Jared Goff, whatever it was. So let's see this consistency and what kind of consistency Stafford and Kupp have moving forward, as well as 9 catches. But I mentioned Van Jefferson there. You know, there was a lot of hope for Van Jefferson after his week 1. What were your thoughts of Van Jefferson in week 2? Because he did have a drop there.
Yeah, he did have that drop. So I think, you know, he didn't get as many opportunities. I think the goal, like you talk about with Kupp, inconsistency in the previous seasons, it has a little bit to do with McVay's strategy and spreading the ball around, rotating primary targets from game to game. So I think this could be the case where, you know, Jefferson had a big game in game 1. So maybe he wasn't as prioritized in the game plan in this game, but definitely Jefferson and Woods had a couple of drops that we'd like to have back.
Yep. And the Colts, they come back after being down 7-0. They get a field goal. The big play on that drive being a 42-yard pass from Wentz to Michael Pittman. Seems like a very lucky play to some degree, I didn't think that was the best decision by Wentz, but when you pull it off, how can anyone complain? But I don't know if it was necessarily even like that a sign of really bad defense. I mean, it was just I think Aaron Donald blew up Julian Davenport. It was immediately Wentz was running and he just threw it up there. Kind of seemed like it was up there for a while. A lot of people could have come down with it, but at the end of the day, they did get a field goal to make it 7-3 on the next drive. A hard right turn from how every other drive had gone before that this season. Matthew Stafford pass was intercepted again. That was deflected. And so send it off kilter. Otherwise could have been another long gain. I mean, that's where it seemed to be going. And then, as we alluded to, the Colts get a great opportunity with the ball down 7-3, and Carson Wentz on third and goal from the Rams 3 decides to flip it, shovel pass it directly to Troy Reader, who has an interception. Then the Rams come back. They get a field goal to make it 10-3. The Colts get a field goal before the end of the half to make it 10-6. And then the Rams come out. First drive of the second half, Matthew Stafford finds Cooper Kupp, who gets a nice catch and run there for 43 yards. A lot of, you know, not a lot of nice things from Cooper Kupp today and his career, but a lot of nice moves today from Cooper Kupp, just in terms of like creating yards, creating opportunities, creating first downs. You know, he's not, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, you can create opportunities and first downs by catching the ball. And just that's what you do. You catch the ball. But Cooper Kupp catches the ball, and he also does a lot of insane things with the ball to get more yardage. And that was the case with the 43-yarder. He's just such a talented player. So the Rams end up going all the way down for a Daryl Henderson touchdown to make it 17-6. And then late in the game, Daryl Henderson leaves with a rib injury and doesn't return. What were your thoughts on Sony Michel and Daryl Henderson today?
They ran good. I like how in the second half, you know, we come out that first drive with the emphasis on the run game and the screen game. So I thought, you know, especially in that first drive, that combination between Daryl Henderson and Cooper Kupp on the screen, I thought that was one of our more impressive drives of the game. Sony Michel looked pretty good. He seemed like he was quick and strong up the middle. We even got to see Jake Funk line up in the backfield, although I don't think he took a snap. But I think hopefully we'll get Henderson back, and if we can roll with Henderson and Michel as a solid backup, I think that'll be a good way to go.
In the third quarter, the Colts had a 11-play, 74-yard touchdown drive to make the score 17-14. On that drive, Kenny Young was ejected for making contact with an official, and really seemed to lose his cool there at the wrong moment with the wrong person, like in his face. I think, it seemed as though Kenny Young was very upset and would have been upset in the face of anyone who tried to talk to him at that moment. It just so happened to be an official. So he was ejected. Any thoughts on the Kenny Young ejection or the play of the Rams defense on that touchdown drive, which resulted in a Carson Wentz touchdown to Zach Pascal for 8 yards?
Yeah, that was a tough one. I mean, I think, he'll learn to keep his cool, or, you know, he'll do better in the future. Just a matter of, like you said, man, it's just really just space and time. I mean, you can be that animated, I think, just, you know, without the ref being right there. So I'm sure he didn't, you know, direct it towards the ref, but the fact that he made contact, that's going to be a likely ejection. And then I thought that really spelled the momentum. I thought that the momentum of the whole game, starting with how that drive finished, kind of turned and made it into a close finish in a fourth quarter type game.
Yeah, and after trading punts and then the Daryl Henderson injury, bad turned to worse when the punt was snapped and hit Nick Scott and went into the end zone and was recovered by the Colts for a touchdown to take a 21-17 lead in the fourth quarter. A very obviously unexpected. And that also happened with the Van Jefferson drop for a first down. So bad, you know, and this is one of the things that I talk about as well, which is, you know, the concept of momentum. Who could have had more momentum than the Colts after what had just happened there at the turn of the fourth quarter? The Rams had lost the starting running back to injury, dropped a first down, and then a ridiculous, I don't know if I've ever seen it before, touchdown punt for the Colts. Who could have had more momentum at going into the fourth quarter than taking a 21-17 lead at home with that? So that's where I don't necessarily buy into momentum, because as we now know, Matthew Stafford was able to help out there as the Rams came back and took the 24 to 21 lead. And things didn't really quite go well from there. I mean, it was for the Colts, that is. What were your thoughts on some of the players maybe that we didn't see today, like DeSean Jackson? Any thoughts there in terms of whether or not it just seems like, do you think that LA could have used DeSean Jackson today? What exactly are your thoughts there?
Well, of course, I think, you know, we could have used him. I think it's, you know, it's just not his time in the rotation as far as, you know, McVay's season-long strategy. I think he's got to be telling DeSean Jackson, you know, to be patient and his time will come as far as, you know, hopefully not because of injury, but just because, you know, of the rotation of primary targets from game to game, that his time will come. And I think it will. I think, you know, whether we use him in the run game today, we started to see more of those jet sweeps coming back, whether they worked or not. So I think we'll utilize DeSean Jackson in that way at some point. But I don't think that we were planning to need him like that in this game. But maybe against the Bucks, Tutu Atwell, we got to look at for what did line up as a punt returner. We haven't seen him return one yet.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting too, because, we haven't seen Tutu out. Well, we are two games into the season and that's early. And, also, you know, the Rams in December will look different than the Rams in September, just like any NFL team would to some degree. Uh-huh. So it's early. This is not a total end of the line for anybody by any means, but looking at like say the 2020 draft today, Bryson Hopkins inactive. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jacob Harris hasn't even ever played tight end, but I guess is the number three tight end. And Bryson Hopkins was a tight end for his whole life, had his dad, you know, is an offensive lineman in the NFL of note, who, you know, you would think at least had a lot of momentum going into his career as a tight end, but inactive today. And yet Jacob Harris is active. Obviously the Rams, they don't really utilize any tight end much other than Tyler Higbee so far, but we didn't see Bryson Hopkins, and another player who I think a lot of people who want to see someone other than Taylor Rapp at safety, which, you know, I'm here nor there with. I think that the Rams entered the season with a defense where they were like, we have such great players at a few places that we're not that concerned about the places where we don't have good players. And, but another guy from the last year's draft is Terrell Burgess, and he's healthy and he had a good camp and he's always having good camps and practices, it seems, but isn't, necessarily there to be, you know, another guy for Raheem Morris. And we haven't really even talked about Raheem Morris. I don't know what your thoughts are there, as well as Terrell Lewis, you know, it's just not really a factor. And that may be because he just hasn't practiced very much or something, but, a few guys there from the 2020 draft who aren't playing a ton yet. Would you, you know, when we do have guys like Jordan Fuller or even Van Jefferson to some degree participating, any thoughts on those second year players?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that Taylor Burgess and Taylor Rapp, I mean, Burgess and Taylor Rapp are, you know, neck and neck, and they have been through all camp. But I think Taylor Rapp, if he's the starter for now, is, you know, doing his part to hold the edge on the starting position as far as, you know, today, you know, nothing got over top on him. He made a sack, showing his ability to contribute there. But Terrell Burgess, I think, he, you know, he can contribute for sure. Keep him in the rotation, I think, is the right idea.
And finally, the Rams offensive line. What were your thoughts on their performance? We saw Andrew Whitworth lose a battle there for a sack to Al-Qadin Muhammad. But that was the only sack the Colts had all day. They officially had three quarterback hits, with two of those going to DeForest Buckner. So even Brian Allen, I would have to say, did pretty well. Actually, that'll be one of two things we talk about, because the other thing is that a lot of people went into the game with concerns about the run defense. Jonathan Taylor, pretty good running back, 15 carries for 51 yards. It didn't seem like the Colts were necessarily getting a ton going with their running game. So thoughts on the offensive lines of either team?
Yeah, I think our our defense, as far as stopping the run, did a little better this week than we did against the Bears. So I think that's coming together. And as far as the Rams offensive line, pass pro, I think is going well. Like you said, you know, it looks like Wentz is having enough time back there to go through his progressions. But I'd like to see more push for the run game going forward.
Yeah, and going forward means the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week 3, a very big game in the NFL, a very big game in for the Rams, without question. That'll be at home on September 26th in the afternoon, 1:25, because we don't talk about Eastern Standard Times around here. But at SoFi Stadium, Rams, Buccaneers. We don't, I believe, know what the Buccaneers' record will be after 2 weeks. I don't believe. I think that's happening right now as we speak. The Bucs lead 7-0 over the Falcons. So very likely probably 2-2-0 teams facing off next week at SoFi Stadium. A lot of eyeballs on that one. So come back for the Instant Reaction podcast after the Bucs in week 3. And there will be more podcasts all week here on Turf Show Times. The radio podcast, what have you. Blaine, any final thoughts? What's your final thought here on the Rams?
We'll have to take what we learned as far as our challenges in this game and see what we can do to tighten it up against a tough Bucks team coming to town next week.
Tough Bucks indeed. That's it for Turf Show Times. Follow us on Instagram at Turf Show Times, same on Twitter and Facebook. So go check that out for all of the Turf Show Times content. Plenty of things going on over there. And always be on turfshowtimes.com at all times. Keep it as the homepage. That's it for Turf Show Times. Come back next time for another episode.